lot of change. A lot of people who've been in the city of Hudson for a long time, who have decided to leave or decided to sell or have moved to other parts of the city. So the nature and the face of the neighborhood, I think, has changed somewhat. And we are an incredibly diverse neighborhood, which I think both Larissa and I can attest to as running for candidates for alderman. We cross the gamut of income, of race, of culture, of religion, and I think that's especially reflective of why I think a lot of people love Hudson. And a lot of times, you know, Hudson can feel as though there are two towns, or there's a divide that isn't crossed. And I think in the first ward, you know, we have an opportunity to bridge those gaps. And I think, and I'll let Larissa jump in there, because I think that's something that she's really been focusing on that I think is incredibly important for our neighborhood.
Absolutely. I see, Carol, the first ward, it's our gem. It really is a diamond, and it has been described as a diamond in the rough. It is the welcome gate, as David had just mentioned, for those who come in on the train, for those who are driving up Route 9 coming up the hill into our ward through the South Bay. It's a beautiful, absolutely beautiful melting pot. And there is almost sometimes feels like there is a divide of two towns, or people dividing it by city folk and those who were born and raised here. I was born and raised in here, the first ward here in the city of Hudson. And I chose when I came back to absolutely live there. And what I see is that we have the waterfront that's there. We have many different cultures that are there. We have the architecture that's there. I believe education is also needed in our community. And so the good and the bad, if we put it together, First Ward absolutely rocks. It's absolutely beautiful, and that's how I see it.
Where do you see the development of the waterfront? I mean, this is probably the most contentious issue in the city. What would be your visions for the waterfront?
It is the most contentious issue, and I think a lot of sweat and tears have gone into debating and discussing it. But it's absolutely clear to me that, and even if you've been to the waterfront, or you've experienced the number of cultural programs or music events that have gone on down there, this is a place where children, families, outdoor enthusiasts, tourists want to go. It is not a place where people want to have to figure out when they can cross in front of 200-ton semis. It is not a place where people want to figure out, oh, when are their business hours over so I can enjoy the waterfront. I mean, you look at cities around the world that have progressive visions for their waterfront, and they're not including heavy industry in that plan. So it befuddles me, and it frustrates me that some of our political leaders and some of our movers and shakers in the community just cannot move beyond that, you know. And I understand there's been a long history of that waterfront being a working waterfront, but there's no sense in thinking that, you know, DigiFab is not a working waterfront, or the Basilica being an arts and cultural center is not a working waterfront that provides jobs, that provides a tax base, that provides income for people. And there's been a lot of initiative from a lot of folks to push that vision forward, and they've seen so much pushback. I just wish that our sitting alderwoman for the first ward would be sympathetic to that vision, and she hasn't been, and that's part of the reason I'm running.
So just for our listeners that aren't aware of what those things are, Basilica is Basilica Hudson, formerly Basilica Industria, which is the big old ironworks and glue factory and railroad wheel manufacturer. And it sits just to the east and south of the train station. And DigiFab, what, maybe you could explain what DigiFab is.
DigiFab is two architects who started it's basically a high-end fabrication outfit. They fabricate trim or all sorts of, they have a, I'm going to forget the proper name for it, but basically it's a digital laser cutter. And then they fabricate all sorts of materials for projects in the area and down in the city.
Great. Carol, did you have something?
Well, I would like to hear from Larissa on the topic of the waterfront and waterfront development.
I believe the waterfront needs to be developed. It cannot remain the way it is. Decisions need to be made. I understand that there is a process, but certain individuals in certain positions, it's slow as molasses that it's taking this long for us to make our beautiful waterfront a place where we are able to attract tourists and also make it a beautiful, absolutely enjoyable experience for those who already live here in the city. We're, in reference to the process, yes, there's certain things that have to be paid attention to in reference to environmental as well as to the people that live there. But for the fact that it's still sitting there and that someone's vision with that it should remain industrial, that's cock a rooster. That's crazy. Absolutely. I do believe, in my personal opinion, and one of the reasons I am running is because we need to get some fresh blood in there. We need some spirit. We need some energy. We need people who love this city so much that they're going to push. And whether they're crossing a line and that their opinion may not be of the majority, we need to develop the waterfront. We need to do it in a responsible way, but we do not need to take another 20, 30, or 40 more years to get it done. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the main reasons why I'm running.
So, Larissa, when you say development, what is it that you envision?
What I envision in reference to development is taking into account that it is the waterfront. But part of that is, in a responsible way, having businesses, being able to kayak, being able to enjoy the wildlife, being able to picnic, being able to have the beautiful music festival that we just had last week and the week previous before, being able to gather individuals. And at some point, I'm also open to seeing if it's possible for individuals to live there as well, without regard to how much income you own or revenue in your business, or if you're a middle-class Hudsonian. I believe there's also something that should be considered in also having that be developed. So there's many uses, and it's better than having trucks going back and forth with gravel. That's what I feel.
So you see mixed use, light use of it, basically. Not you see a combination of commercial and residential down there.
Yes, that's that. But as well as more of the environment, really taking into enjoying the actual Hudson River that's sitting there. Mm-hmm. So mixed use, mixed purpose is what I see, but not to an extent that it's one way or the other. Like right now, it really is industrial.
Right.
A majority of it is.
Do any of you support the concept of a beach there? Like where you could actually go to the water and get into the water? There is a beach. There is a sort of...
Yeah, historically beach. There was a natural beach that people still drive along the train tracks to get to. People who realize that maybe that trespassing sign isn't as forced as as diligently as...
It depends. It sometimes is.
And that's the thing. In the draft plan, they're talking about moving the state boat launch down by where that beach existed prior. And to think that people would drive their boat through a heavy industrial deep water port with semis going in and out is it's incredulous that they would think that would actually take place, to me. Mm-hmm. The initiative to bring Eleanor, which is a Hudson River sloop, day sailor, that a group of individuals are raising money to restore and use as an education piece. I mean, it would be incredible to have that at our waterfront. I mean, the fact that we don't have a place for boats to dock outside of the Hudson Powerboat, which is a private association, is kind of silly to me.
Mm-hmm. So part of the mix of this whole industrial piece down there, I mean, and some will quibble with that the shipping operation. I mean, the position of the city attorney working on the LWRP says that it's not industrial activity, it's transportation, but which seems ridiculous, but that's just my own opinion. The one of the most contentious issues, as well as the waterfront, is the truck traffic that goes down to the waterfront to ship aggregate, which is crushed stone, basically, from the mines in Greenport down to the barges where they go out to points unknown, I guess Connecticut mostly. How do you see solving the issue of the truck traffic? Is there the truck route, which goes down 9G and then goes up Columbia Street and then out on 9, has increased tremendously in the past couple of years, particularly with the big box stores that are in Greenport. There's a lot more traffic on that route, and that certainly it skirts your ward, but it is, you know, it's a problem.
Well, it's funny you should say that. My next door neighbor, there are sewer lines that run underneath Front Street that run up in our backyards, and the rumble of those trucks shakes his house, and he's eight houses up Union. Mm-hmm. From Front, so it directly affects the First Ward, and in terms of safety for all of the kids that live at the Terrace. I mean,
right.
The problem I see is the state uses this great term segmentation, which is used more in line with reviewing who has the political power to decide how particular issues when you have multiple jurisdictions judging a document, right? Well, I think you could use that term, and it would illustrate the fact that trying to get the gravel truck traffic to use a different route while not dealing with the, as you say, the truck traffic that's going out to the big box stores is not how you deal with transportation planning. You've got to deal with all of it. You can't just take a piece of it and try and move it somewhere else across our South Bay wetland, for instance, and then leave the remainder of the trucks moving up the rest of Columbia. It has to be a larger movement to deal with that than to just try and deal with the aggregate first.
Well, I think one of the reasons that we have this phenomenon of segmentation, as you call it, when it comes to the gravel trucks, is that when they are crossing 3rd Street and going west of 3rd Street, they are getting off the state designated truck route, mm-hmm. and they're doing a local delivery, mm-hmm. and that's something that a municipality has some control over, which is why it's been suggested by City Attorney Jack Connor that the city draft a law saying that now that you have this path through South Bay, we want you to use it all the time, coming and going, so that you're not on Columbia Street below 3rd, and you're not on Front Street. So I'm wondering what your opinion of that initiative, that draft law is.
and then to turn the trucks back onto to 9,
it's 9G there, just so people are clear.
Yeah, and that's an incredibly busy gateway to the city, and to have a massive semis turning on and off it, and I think your point is exactly that, is you have a municipal, the municipality could do that indeed, that's the thing. I feel like you have to have all the players at the table to come up with a really authentic alternative to what we're dealing with.
It's also at the bottom, that crossing there is at the bottom of a very steep hill, which you know it goes from 55 to 30 right there, but most people when they hit the 30 are still doing 55.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the way it is, and it will be tremendously difficult to see trucks moving across those roads without major stoplights or something, because it's a huge problem there.
Yeah.
It's already a big problem. Let's see. Well, I want to remind people about our Facebook page. We have a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/@issue spelled out, and we post notices of who's going to be on the show each week, and we also post the archives from each show there. So if you have missed a show or you want to go back and hear something again, it's a great place to be able to hear lots of people talking on lots of issues. So please check it out and like the page. And it's again, it's facebook.com/@issue. I wanted to remind everyone that I'm here with Larissa Thomas and Dave Marston, who are running on the Democratic and Working Families Party lines for alderman in the First Ward. For those who don't know what an alderman is, it is our representative on the Common Council in the City of Hudson, which is like our city council. My co-host today is Carol Osterink, who writes the blog The Gossips of Rivertown. And so, Carol, why don't you ask the next question of our guests.
Okay, the next question. Larissa touched upon the whole issue of development on the waterfront, but I'd like to talk about development in the First Ward. It seems that our very historic ward, our ward that is the oldest intact neighborhood in Hudson, has attracted the attention of a single developer who seems to be buying up lots and lots of property and also seems to want to fill every vacant space with a new house. So I'm wondering how you feel about that and how you think we need to respond to that.
Well, my first issue would be one developer owning so much property in the ward that I'm running for. The second part would be properties that have been purchased for quote-unquote development are sitting there rotting away. No one's living in them. There's obviously not a for sale sign up, nor is there a realtor who has a for sale sign up there. So what is the actual agenda behind acquiring all of this property? I have a problem with that. I have a problem with that when I see homeless people sitting out on the street in my ward or in the city of Hudson. And yet we have buildings in our ward and also in other wards that could possibly be developed or grants given or something done in order to combat the homeless problems that we have or those who need upgraded living spaces.
Do you see a real homeless problem in the First Ward?
I would say from time to time, absolutely. When you are invested in your community and you're in your ward, you know who doesn't have a roof over their head or who actually needs a warm meal to eat. And you see people who are going from spot to spot. We do have a small homeless problem in the First Ward. We do. People in alleys. But my problem is when it comes in reference to this developer who owns all of this property, I would love to have a chat. I actually invite you to have a chat with me. I would love to talk to see what are some of your plans in order to do with the property that you have purchased. Because it should not just be sitting there for somebody to have a monopoly on so much property. It is their God-given right. It is their freedom to do so. But if you're going to invest that much in purchasing property and in the First Ward, let's do something about it. Let's give it back. That's how I see it.
One of the things that gets lost a little bit in this discussion is the detriment that warehousing of buildings has on us in a number of other ways, like the decrease in population that comes with warehousing of properties, which then translates into us having a smaller weighted vote in the on the county level, and you know certainly in the city level as well. If we lost in the latest census, the city of Hudson lost I think 800 or around 800 residents, and for representation and for the flow of money from the federal and state and county, that's not a good thing. And when you have a developer who is holding really some of the largest rental units and cleared them out of people and then is sitting on them, it is holding the economic development back of the city in ways that some people maybe not would not have thought about. I do
agree with that, but I also think also from an appearance and seeing abandoned houses and broken windows and right. You know the basic upkeep and maintenance, so obviously the building is still standing on its four hinges or columns, fine, but there's so many purposes to do with it. And how long does it take? You buy a building 5 years ago and it's still sitting there empty?
With broken sidewalks and
then just people hanging out. Right. I mean, that's another. It can invite trouble. It can cause all sorts of different issues. But my main thing is if you're going to do that and you're building up this monopoly and owning all of these buildings, and if you're warehousing them or storing them, whatever your purpose is, share it. Be transparent. That's one of the main reasons I'm also running. I want transparency in government. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of people hiding behind just sitting in a chair. So if you are part of our community and you're developing, share with us or share with the elected officials what you're up to. If you need assistance, reach out. Mm-hmm. If not, I think it's horrible to see empty buildings sitting there. And some of them are next door to each other.
Right.
So you're talking about half a block, half a corner. It's ludicrous. It's ridiculous. And to be the owner of that property, I would be embarrassed, absolutely ashamed. But that's my personal opinion.
Go ahead.
Wow. No, that's all right. I'm not wowing at that. I'm wowing at the how big of an issue this is for the first ward and for the rest of the city. I mean, there's an incredible number of points that I think this touches upon. It's notable that three of the buildings that have been warehoused that are not specifically in the first ward are the largest apartment buildings.
Yeah.
In the city of Hudson, and we do have a lot of young people moving to the city who are starting to find that it's not as cheap to live in Hudson as they had thought, or as they had planned. And I think it's a purposeful move to artificially inflate rents because it suits a developer's purposes, which to make a profit. And yeah, to Larissa's point, to build five single family homes on the corner of First and Union, while I can think off the top of my
head. It's four,
excuse me. I think I became obsessed with the garage door facing First, and that really displaced the number of houses.
People who attend council meetings would understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to get too emotional about it, but there's another issue beyond the development, and that's the enforcement of historic preservation laws, which we do have municipal ordinances for. And this particular developer has flaunted those laws and has in a number of ways disrespected the integrity of the laws, besides breaking them, and that's insulting. Especially when we're talking about houses that are historically significant on a national level. We're not talking about local old buildings. We're talking about a piece of American history that is just been turned into a shabby and ridiculous approximation of what it was. And I understand that property rights are on the altar of the American the American church, but there are ways in which living in a community means taking responsibility for what you do in that community and to that community and in regards to that community, and he has done nothing but disrespect us in the first ward.
We touched on a little bit about the weighted vote and what the population shift has to do with, you know, has how it affects both funding and our legislative power. And so I wanted to just first to explain to the listeners who are not aware about that both in the city of Hudson and in Columbia County, we operate on a weighted vote system. Some time ago, the Supreme Court ruled that either municipalities had to draw equal population districts, and so that they were truly represented by one person and one vote, or they had to move to a weighted vote system, which is not the ideal system, because in a equal population district municipality, there is one person, one vote at the polls, and there's also one person, one vote in the legislative, branch of the government. In Columbia County and in Hudson, we operate on a weighted vote system, which is based on population. So Carol knew a little bit better about what the numbers was. In order to win a simple majority on the Common Council,
a simple majority requires 1,011 votes. So when the members, the aldermen that represent the first ward, for example, cast a vote, yay or nay, it represents 94 votes. When an alderman in the fifth ward casts a vote, it represents close to 300.
Right.
And so it's also, you know, the vote has changed. It used to be the fifth ward and the third ward that have the most powerful votes. The first ward and the fourth ward have the least powerful votes. And there are, there are people in who live in the first ward, property owners in the first ward, and Dave mentioned that they have seen a 227% increase in their property taxes, who suggest that perhaps they are, they're experiencing taxation without adequate representation, mm-hmm. because they are, you know, they're contributing a great deal to the city of Hudson and its maintenance, and yet their representatives have just in the votes themselves, not in their influence or their lobbying abilities or whatever, but in their vote alone, have very little influence in the Common Council. So
could you guys speak a little bit to whether you support the weighted vote system, or, and if not, you know, would you support moving to equal population districts in the city of Hudson?
Based on that definition, I would support. It needs to be equal. It really needs to be fair. So based on where it currently is at, it would sound like zoning or borders would need to be changed or shifted in mm-hmm. order to make my vote, Dave's vote, the first ward, have just as much impact and influence mm-hmm. as any of the other wards.
Right. Do you believe that the number of representatives on the council or in the, you know, we have in the city of Hudson, we also have five supervisors representing each of the five wards. In the rest of the county, each town supervisor is the representative to the board of supervisors. So we have a lot of legislators representing the city of Hudson. 15, you know, 10 on the council. Each ward has two aldermen. Do you think that has to be looked at? Is it?
I think one goes hand in hand, and maybe the supervisors would stay the way it is. Mm-hmm. But either way, you can't, you know, you can't eat a full meal. You can't eat your chicken, you know, without your, I don't know, mashed potatoes or vegetables. So bad analogy, but basically, when you look at one, you have to look at the whole picture. I'm getting hungry, right?
You know, because, I mean, people have to realize that, you know, it's not that complicated. Municipalities all over the country do this every 10 years. The census comes out, they redistrict. It's, for whatever reason, they, and I think that to a large extent, it has a lot to do with maintaining power and control. I mean, with the town supervisors, dole out lots of jobs, and they are responsible for running their towns and for running their and for representing their towns on the board of supervisors. And it's a strange system. We are only one of six, I believe, in the state that still operate under this system of government.
I think in Hudson also, Victor, there's a lot of tradition and nostalgia when it comes to wards.
Yes.
And I personally, when the issue first came up back in 2002 or 2003, mm-hmm. I thought, oh no, we can't redraw the ward boundaries, because, you know, you remember these wonderful 1873 maps where the first ward is pink and the second ward is yellow, and, you know, you just don't want to change that.
Yeah.
But it does make sense to do so, I think.
Yeah.
It's time for change, and at least to take a look at it to see how it is. But I also do believe if borders are going to be shifted and moving zoning with the wards, and in order to make the vote just as powerful and just as fair, it could also have consequences on other things. So I think the whole big picture definitely does.
I mean, perhaps the wards could remain in a certain way, but you could draw districts. I mean, there are boundaries that are geographic boundaries, and there are political boundaries as well. I mean, that really could be, you know, just because you live in like District A does not necessarily mean that you wouldn't live in the first ward. It still could have its own identity.
Yes.
Based on history and geography, but. Let's see. Where are we?
Can we go back?
Yeah.
Larissa talked about transparency in government, and it's certainly something that I believe in. I try to bring transparency in government on the Gossips of Rivertown, but I'm just wondering.
Often to people's chagrin.
to some people's chagrin. But I was just wondering how you would go about achieving it. What you think is important to doing
well,
that.
Sure. Part of that, I think what's very important in order to be transparent as a representative of the people who have voted you into the position would be to stay connected with those individuals who, we're going to talk about the first ward, really asking their opinion. There are going to be matters and issues and discussions that are going to come to the city council, the common council. And I believe before making a decision, it would be important to try and go out to the community, whether it's knocking on the doors, whether it's newsletters, whether it's social media, however you stay connected with those in your ward, but finding out what is their opinion? How do they want you to vote? And then obviously you as a representative taking all of the issues, all of the bullet points, and then make a decision. I think that's part of being transparent and not just going off on your, you know, what you want to do by yourself.
So we're going to take a minute break, and we'll be right back. This is At Issue on WGXC. My guests today are Larissa Thomas and Dave Marston, who are running for First Ward Alderman in the city of Hudson. My co-host today is Carol Ostering from the Gossips of Rivertown, and we will be right back. We're back. So again, we're here with Dave Marston and Larissa Thomas, who are running for alderman in the first ward to become the first ward of Hudson's representatives on Hudson's Common Council. And my co-host today is Carol Ostering from the Gossips of Rivertown, which is at gossipsofrivertown.blogspot.com. There is a three-way race for the primary, for the Democratic primary. You guys have already been endorsed and are the Working Families Party candidate. And then there is a three-way race for two seats on the Democratic line. So do you guys have anything that you want to say about your opponent in the race, or is there, you know?
Well, first I want to remind people that the primary is September 13th. And if you live in the first ward, you vote at St. Mary's, which is on the corner of Allen and 3rd Street. I think the polls are open
from noon to nine.
Yeah, so that's a little bit different than general election. You do need to be a registered Democrat to vote in a Democratic primary. So I urge any registered Democrat to get out there. And my name's David Marston, and this is Larissa Thomas. Please, come on, show us your support. we promise to reflect the needs, the wants, desires, dreams of the First Ward. And yeah. Our opponent, Gita Chetty, was not endorsed by the Democratic Party.
Nor was she endorsed the last time either.
I don't want to slander my opponent, but I do want to say that I did vote for her, and she has not reflected the desire of the people in the first ward, and that became extremely evident when my neighbors asked me to run. I didn't come about this out of a desire to hold political office. I came about this out of a grassroots moment with my neighbors that our representation did not reflect what we saw for the neighborhood, and it continually was insulted. She called the South Bay a swamp at one point. She told the Common Council that Catholic Charities' effort was saving lives. That for those of you who aren't aware, the Catholic Charities donated money to the police department to conduct a sting on local businesses on December 23rd. was a small Christmas present to almost every bar in the city of Hudson.
Yeah, $2,000 fine.
Yeah, and a mandatory appearance ticket, and corrupting a minor. I thought that was the most incredible. anyways, I don't want to start off on a bad foot, but I do think that if folks have been following politics as it affects the First Ward, there are a number of issues that our representatives should be standing up about, and they're not. And that's just, we have a representative government for a reason, and we need representation that demands that the city listen to what affects our neighborhood. So that's it on that.
I think her record of inaction and the issues that she chooses to take action on and really get,
right,
you know, passionate about is evident enough. I think it's time for some new blood, mm-hmm, folks. I love how the grassroots came together with Dave coming in and running for alderman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy to be able to run.
And it's the same for you as well.
Yes, absolutely. Born and raised. I know that area.
Mm-hmm.
And I think her not representing the First Ward, hearing that, went out door to door, really connecting and walking the streets and walking the First Ward and hearing that, I think it's time for change.
So tell us about that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have been out meeting your constituents. You were carrying petitions and you were out meeting people. What's that experience like? How do you feel that's going? And what kind of reaction have you gotten from the people?
Oh, so much love, so much love. They are so happy to have what they call us youngsters running in the First Ward.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I think the big difference for me is like, wow, you're actually taking time to actually listen to what I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
Not only are you taking the time, you're actually asking me my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And you're also sharing, you know, how any advice that can maybe perhaps help their situation or services they didn't know that were available in the area.
Mm-hmm.
Really being an advocate for who we're going to represent.
Instead of sending a newsletter out.
Yeah, the newsletter. Let's talk about that for about 10
that.
Seconds.
Yeah.
I love it that her and John Musall sent out a newsletter. It's great to connect with those in the First Ward.
Mm-hmm.
But let me say this to you and to those who are listening. If you're going to indirectly refer to me, make sure you get your facts straight.
Mm-hmm.
I'm class of 1994. My family goes back generations, further back than how many years you probably even lived in the city. Get your facts straight. But more importantly, instead of worrying about who's running against you, address the issues.
Right.
That's
mm-hmm.
the point of the newsletter, to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
Address what can I do for you? Mm-hmm. How can I help?
Right.
And my main thing is to make sure that we have the right people representing the First Ward.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm running. That's the main thing.
I think one of the most, for me, the most stunning points that was made in that most recent newsletter was this kind of blaming the people who have been participating in the LWRP process and making public comments for slowing up the process and causing the city more expense, which was, you know, it sort of reminded me of, yes, well, you know, Mussolini made the trains run on time. You know, efficient government is a dictatorship, but democracy is not an efficient form of government. But it does involve the people that it serves.
And you know, the thing is that to be blaming people for exercising their constitutional rights and their right to public comment, you know, the comments about the LWRP were made during the public comment period, and to blame the public for commenting is just the height of outrageousness. I think it's just crazy. Now you guys have been running as a team with Sarah Sterling, who's the current alderman and is seeking John Musall's seat, for supervisor in the ward. Could you just sort of give a couple of thoughts about how that's going and your relationship with Sarah and how you feel about it?
Yes, absolutely. I love Sarah. Sarah is such a kind-hearted, warm person. But she's also an individual of integrity, which is what I think why we get along so well.
Mm-hmm.
I believe she would make an absolute fabulous candidate. I believe she is the candidate, and she should be the only candidate to fill that position for the supervisor. But one of the things that I did hear from being in the community in the first ward is that she does connect and ask people, okay, what's the problem? They actually do get a response if they, you know, see her in the street or stop her on the road or write a letter. She actually does respond to issues, no matter even if it's something that she doesn't have the power to control. She does at least respond. And I think that's one of the biggest things, that if you can get just that from your representation, right on.
Right
on. Two thumbs up.
Yeah, I mean, I wholly support and endorse Sarah for the supervisor seat. I'm not a huge fan of John and what he's done at the county level. So he voted to move DSS and buy Walmart for an inflated price to build out what?
To take it off the tax rolls,
yeah,
and the proposal is, so people understand, not only to take the Walmart building off of the tax rolls, but the county would still pay the school tax and the town tax to the town of Greenport that Walmart would have paid. So it's like a double loss of money. It's not just a single loss of money.
And then the transportation costs to get people to DSS, which is the responsibility of. Does that reflect the first word? I don't know. Not in my experience.
I don't know.
But
the first word people I've been talking to, does that even sound remotely like that? Oh, no, I don't think so.
But I also want to throw a pitch out there for Nick. I'm a big fan of Nick. He's a write-in candidate for the primary, but I do as a person running, I do want to throw my support behind him. I urge people to go to the polls on September 13th.
But I do have to remind the listeners that WGXC does not endorse candidates, and WGXC is completely nonpartisan, and all candidates are welcome to bring their views to the public and to use the public airwaves here on WGXC. If you'd like to, if you want to participate in the dialogue on WGXC, you can phone 518-828-0290, or you can email info@wgxc.org, and you can have your voice heard here as well. This radio station is really about all people being heard, and for all points of view to be heard, and we certainly don't think that ours is the only ones, and we invite all of the candidates, and we hope that people will come on and say their and say what they would like to do on all levels of government. The station would love to hear from you, and certainly I think the listeners really want to hear the full range of ideas and thoughts about these issues that are so important. So we really do encourage people to do that. Want to remind you about our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/@issue spelled out, and you'll know all about upcoming guests, and all of the archives for the shows are there as well, so you can really get you can really catch up on issues that are of importance to the city and the county, we encourage you to do that. So again, we're here with Larissa Thomas, who is the Democrat and Working Families Party candidate for alderman in the first ward, along with Dave Marston, who is the same. There are two seats available in the for alderman in the first ward, and we're here also here with Carol Osterink from the Gossips of Rivertown, a great blog that has tons of information on local issues, and people should check that out as well. It's at gossipsofrivertown.blogspot.com. So we only have a few more minutes. What else would you like to tell the people?
Well, our headquarters, since we have been endorsed by the Democratic Party, is at 542 Warren Street. And so we invite you to definitely visit and say hello. And we have a few events that will be lined up in the next month or two. Before the primary, after the primary, and so we would definitely love to connect with everyone who's in the first ward.
Yeah, I urge anyone in the first ward to reach out. I'm trying to get to everyone before the primary, and being that we are all busy folks, that's probably not going to be the case for everyone. So I urge people to reach out and express themselves about what concerns them, and what they see for our future in the first ward. We've got a we've got a big opportunity to change things this election cycle, and I think we could really reflect the new century, or we could slip back into the last. And so I really urge people to participate in this election. This is a really, really important one, and I can't highlight that enough.
Well, you both mentioned at the beginning your issues, and I just want to make certain that we've covered them. Are there any issues that we haven't touched upon that you'd like to mention before the time is up?
One, it's not necessarily an issue, but something that I would be part of my platform that I would love to see happen in the first ward is definitely education, whether it's in reference to jobs, whether it's in reference to the educational piece that you were talking about in the Bay. That way, I believe we can definitely, education can change a lot of things. So I'm looking to explore that and really connect with folks in the first ward about that. What would they like to see? What would they like to enjoy for the benefit, whether it's for the children or whether it's for families? Job economic development is one big thing that I would love to see. I think since we are, as you put it, coming into the new age, or we're going to go forward, there's ways that people can still be self-sufficient, and that's part of my platform, and using technology in order to people to be able to still have jobs, whether it's not the normal industrial or manufacturing that we have here in Hudson.
So I just wanted to ask you a question quickly before we go to Dave. Just on that subject, I mean, I know you run your own internet business, and you really, you know, have sort of, you know, really pulled yourself up and done a fantastic job with yourself. Could you just tell people quickly about what it is that you do?
Yes. I am a virtual assistant. So basically, in layman's terms, if you think of executive assistant, secretary, administrative assistant, it's basically taking those skills as well as management skills. And I run small businesses from all across the country. I even have international clients. So it's all through the internet. It's through the fax, through computer. If you have a computer, you have internet, know how to do Microsoft Word and some other things. There's a little training part of that. But part of my initiative is I really want to connect with some of the moms, some of the people who may not be able to get those higher paying jobs, where you're able to set what rate you want to get paid and still be able to live here in this beautiful city of Hudson. So it's using technology. It's the new wave. It's innovative technology, marketing techniques, and I would love to connect with men and women in the first ward, as well as the city of Hudson, in order to share that on how they can may possibly have a new career path. But I love it. I love what I do, and I would love to share that.
Yeah, it you know, both of us work in technology. I build software for a biodiversity research group, and you know, the move that Etsy made to Hudson is really reflective, I think, and speaks to both of us who are of working age, who are able to support ourselves and live in our city through software and through technology, and that could be a real piece of the economic development puzzle, I think. And I think the city could really make moves to embrace that, because you know, as you say, technology facilitates working in new arrangements, and the city of Hudson would be absolutely primed for that. And I think the movement of Etsy here demonstrates that.
Tell people what Etsy is for people who aren't familiar.
Well, Etsy Etsy facilitates craftspeople and artists to sell their wares on their platform. Basically, they facilitate users, for lack of a better term, to build and sell their merchandise through the Etsy portal. So it allows people that maybe aren't as technologically savvy or don't have the market reach or aren't able to get their name or word out to use the Etsy forum as a place to sell. They've exploded in terms of their market share and in terms of the number of users and the amount of capital that they've generated. They are based out of Red Hook, Brooklyn. I was familiar with them when I lived down in Brooklyn, and they've found Hudson to be exactly the place they want to be, and through no real assistance in terms of pilot or IDA monies or anything of that nature, have decided to relocate here. And I think, you know, that's an incredible testament to how Hudson appeals to people from other places. And we should really reflect on that and think of ways to embrace the future.
So this is at issue. My guests today have been Larissa Thomas, who's running for alderman, along with Dave Marston, who's also running for alderman in the first ward. And I want to thank both of you. I also want to thank Carol Ostering for joining me as co-host today.
Thank you, Victor.
Thank you, Victor and Carol.
Coming up is Al Jazeera English. We will be right back in a few moments with Al Jazeera English. This is at issue. Please come back next week, and we will be here for you at issue next week. I'm sorry, I was just dealing with a little technical issue. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
More than 1,000 from 50 different countries, Al Jazeera English's aim is to provide independent, impartial news for an international audience. Al Jazeera English has been providing a platform for stories from the underrepresented corners of the world. And again, you can hear Al Jazeera English on WGXC at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. weekdays. Visit WGXC.org for a complete program schedule. This is 90.7 FM WGXC, Hudson, New York.
We're just having a little technical issue. We'll be right with Al Jazeera English coming up. This is WGXE. We broadcast from Acre, New York. We're in the Hudson studio. You have been listening to At Issue. And coming up next will be Al Jazeera English. We're probably going to take, we're having a little technical issue with Al Jazeera, so we're probably going to just give you some music for a few minutes. And be right back with Al Jazeera English as soon as we can get it to load. We're having a little internet issue here.
Hezbollah is facing the potential loss of its most significant backer.
And we now join Al Jazeera English.
Firm evidence of Hezbollah's involvement in Rafiq Hariri's murder will likely reopen wounds and could plunge Lebanon into further unrest in a region already racked by political violence. Scott Heidler, Al Jazeera, Beirut.
Well, joining us now live from Beirut is Talal Nizamuddin. He's a professor of political science at the American University in Beirut. Thank you very much for your time. Now, we are, of course, expecting a statement from Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah in the next...